Now, I read in verse 6, now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, under whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. You notice now that he actually changes their names, their Hebrew names, and they're given pagan names, heathen names. He gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means the same thing as Belshazzar, and it meant a worshiper of Baal, a heathen god. And he named Hananiah Shadrach, and Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. Now, we're acquainted with those names. And by the way, the names we're acquainted with are heathen names. And I think these four boys registered the highest IQ of any of them. You see, Babylon wanted the best brains in that day, as well as physical, a good physical specimen. Now, we're told here that there was given to them, appointed a daily provision of the king. And now let me read verse 6. Now we come to the decision of Daniel as one of the captives to be true to God. Now among these were the children of Judah. We've been over that. Now there were four young men from Judah that are identified to us, and the reason is that they were taking a stand for God. Now, if these other boys were about the age of Daniel, I would say that they probably were around 17 years of age. Now, Dr. Gabelein, who was a very able expositor of the Old Testament, especially the prophetic books, he feels he was about 14. I would suggest that if we come up with the date here or the age of 17, that would be probably the correct answer. And frankly, it was Sir Robert Anderson that gave him the age of about 20, maybe 21 or 22, so that 17 would be a good conservative estimate of the age of these men. Now, will you listen to the stand that Daniel has taken? But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's food, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, this boy, he takes a real stand for God, you see. And the very interesting thing is here is he takes this stand for God in a heathen court. Under normal circumstances, it would have been fatal. Obviously, Daniel was not trying to win a popularity contest, and he wasn't attempting to please Nebuchadnezzar. Now, his decision did not reflect the modern softness of compromise that's all about us today. His decision was not dictated by the false philosophy of the power of positive thinking, or how to win friends and influence people. Daniel knew nothing of the opportunist policy when in Babylon, do as the Babylonians do. You see, Daniel was not conformed to this world, but he was transformed by the renewing of his mind, and the will of God was the all-absorbing purpose of his life. Now, Daniel and his friend represent that Jewish remnant which God has in all ages. And this is the remnant of which Paul spoke in Romans 11:5, when he said, even so then at this present time also, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. Now these boys say that they don't want to eat the king's food. Well, what in the world are they going to eat, you see? That's going to be a pretty big question now. And so let's just read on here, and as we do, I think that we'll find out that these young men are going to rebel against a Babylonian diet. You see, they were even to be brainwashed to the extent they're going to be made Babylonians from skin inward and from the skin outward. They were not only to dress like Babylonians, and they were to think like Babylonians. And this man, Daniel, and his friends, fact of the matter is, God made it very clear to his people in the Old Testament. Now, today, we're under the age of grace. We're not under this Mosaic system of diet, but Daniel was under it. And in Leviticus 11:44-47, let me read you this. He says, "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves. Ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of the beasts, and of the fowl, and of every living creature that moveth in the waters, and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth, to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beasts that may be eaten and the beasts that may not be eaten." Now, certain meats were specifically forbidden. And I'm not going back and pick up that list, but you'll find it in Leviticus. And also meats were offered to the heathen idols, which was repulsive to the godly Israelite. And these Hebrew children, Daniel could have been a Nazarite to whom wine was forbidden, because in Numbers 6:3, the Nazarite, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes or eat moist grapes or dried. And now, they were following, therefore, the injunction that had been given to them. And Isaiah put down in Isaiah 52:11, depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Now, believers today, we just haven't been given a diet chart or a menu. We are told, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:25-27, what's sold in the shambles, that is out yonder in the meat market, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever set before you eat, asking no question for conscience sake. And then again, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 8:8, but meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse.